We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padre Social Hour.
And welcome back to Padres Social Hour, presented by United. Got the Cincinnati Reds in town for a three-game set. Happy to welcome to the couch and the Cholula hot seat, Mark Sheldon. He covers the team. He covers the Reds for MLB.com and Reds.com. Mark, good to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. What's going on?
Well, we're shooting the bull here, just going around. By the way, Mark today got my trivia question that naming the
Johnny Temple
from one of my favorite players when I was growing up was the red second baseman.
Well, tell the people out there the question so that they
said, hey, there's this name in the red. If you know Rob Butcher, who does the Reds releases, that they're packed with names from the past. Frank McCormick was in there, another great Reds player, and Johnny Temple. And I just made mention of the fact that, boy, when I was growing up, this guy was one of my favorites. Name him. Mark found him.
Well, I will say, it was my 43rd guess. There were a lot of names I read off, and I was dropping them all, and then
I
finally saw it.
There were a lot of names.
Very good. The Padres, Reds, two teams being compared right now because of what they did at the trade deadline. The Reds did make a couple big moves, but didn't quite go all the way on the rebuild. The Padres obviously didn't really do anything on a rebuild. What is the reaction amongst Reds fans? Are they excited they kept Chapman and Bruce? Fans here were kind of upset that there weren't a lot of trades. They kind of expected more. What are Reds fans saying these days?
Well, I think there's some level of they're pleased with the fact that they did pretty well on the return they got for Johnny Cueto and Mike Leake. They got some nice prospects. But I think for the basic casual fan, there was a lot of discontent in some senses because they traded away two very good players and got prospects. And a lot of fans that don't immerse themselves as much as we do don't necessarily know who these prospects are, and I think there's some level of, hey, they just traded away these guys. Why didn't they get somebody a known quantity in return? On the other hand, I think in baseball circles, the Reds did very well in these trades. There is some discontent about the fact that they didn't really commit to a rebuilding. They kind of, what Walt Jocketty called it, a rebooting, which means they didn't show a lot of conviction in towards tearing it down and trying to really make it a different team. They traded the two guys that are going to be free agents. They decided to wait for a better deal or not make a deal at all for Chapman and Bruce because those guys, they didn't have to deal them. So they didn't like the return they were offered, and they held on to them.
Makes a lot of sense.
But that's the big question every year with teams in the same position. What do you do? And no matter what you do, half the fans are going to be upset with you.
Of course.
Didn't do enough. You did more. I'm surprised that the Reds are in the spot that they're in right now. Are you, when you start at spring training, are you surprised at all? That
I won't say I'm surprised, but I think the general mood was, and my feeling was, is that every single thing had to go right for them to be competitive, because you knew the Cardinals were going to be good. You knew the Pirates were going to be good. I don't think anyone expected the Cubs to be this good, because you knew this was a great, strong division, and no one expected the Brewers to be this bad. So the Reds had their work cut out for them going in, and then they had trouble. Then Devin Mesoraco got hurt. Homer Bailey got hurt. Zach Cozart got hurt. And I'm not blaming their problems on injuries because they were already having problems before those guys got hurt, but that really sent them into a spiral. And now they're starting three rookies for a while. Now they're up to five rookies in the rotation. It's going to be a tough year.
That's pretty crazy. 11 straight starts by a rookie. It's the most since, 1958? It's really interesting to see him throwing out these young guys, and maybe that's going to be built for the future, but maybe it is hard for fans to understand.
When was the last time there was an all-rookie rotation that
– on the Reds, I couldn't tell you. I know the record for the team of using rookies was 77 games, and not the record, but the most in this stretch was 2001, and then they're up to, 58 games this season of using rookies, and it's – now that Cueto and Leake are gone, it's a five rookie rotation, and they have some more rookies in the pipeline, because at some point, guys like Iglesias and Lorenzen are going to hit their innings limits and going to be shut down, and that might bring up one of their top prospects in Robert Stevenson, or one of the guys they acquired from the Royals in the Cueto trade.
And one of the pitchers in their rotation right now is a former Padre prospect, Kiva Sampson.
Yeah, he'll be pitching in LA on Thursday, and he's been a nice addition so far. He kind of was under the radar at spring training. He was not a contender for any of the spots. He had a little shoulder issue, minor thing, I think. But he's shown some pretty good stuff in two starts, and they've been pretty pleased with what they got from him, and he had a nice relief appearance too.
Talking to Mark Sheldon, he covers the Reds for MLB.com. You can follow him at @M_Sheldon on Twitter. Joey Votto kind of back to being Joey Votto. It seems like health has kind of been the thing with him. When he's healthy, he's one of the best players in the game, but it hasn't been there the last couple of years. Now he's back to being healthy, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, he showed from the day one of spring training that he had no limitations, at least from my eye and from a lot of people's eyes. He did everything he was asked to do. He got a little bit of a later start because he spent so much time rehabbing the knee that he didn't do the baseball stuff. But when he did start doing the baseball stuff and he got, you know, maybe started three or four games late into the spring, he never showed anything since. The knee has not even been a talking point, and or his quad injury. And he's been good. And he said he's made some adjustments. He said he saw some things during the first half on video that were maybe a hindrance to why he wasn't taking off yet at the plate. He'd been working really hard with the hitting coach on that. And his second half has been unbelievably good.
Yeah.
You know, looking forward, do you still think that Votto and Bruce are that combination that these guys, that anchor combination they can build around, or is it time to break it up and look for something else?
Well, they can't break it up with Votto because he's gone for nine more seasons.
Right. Votto's going nowhere.
Yeah, he'll be there till 41.
Right. So what happens to Jay Bruce?
Well, that's the question that's going to be really interesting going into the offseason. He signed through 2017. Well, he signed through 2016 with a club option for 2017, and he's got $12.5 million coming next year, and the option's worth $13 million. For a guy that produces as much as he does, that's not a very bad price. And I think one of the things they were facing in this trade deadline is if they trade him, how are they going to replace that? Even down the road when they're ready to come up and strike again as a contender, you don't just find those guys. And they do hope to contend by 2017, and if he's part of that team, he helps them. Or if they can get something that they need and make him a component of a trade and then do better, then they can do that. But I mean, they're really happy with Votto. If they keep Bruce, they have Mezzarocco. They like what they got from Zach Cozart and, of course, Todd Frazier. And those are the guys I think they see as maybe their nucleus going forward. And Bruce is part of that for now, but that could change.
I think Jay Bruce is one of the really – He's one of those borderline stars. That's somebody that, especially if you control something like that, Mark, you said it absolutely perfectly. If you trade somebody like that, how do you replace him at that price?
Yeah, I mean, several years ago, the Reds traded Adam Dunn. The Reds fans, they got on Bruce and they got on Adam Dunn before him. They're still looking for a 40 home run hitter to replace Adam Dunn. They never have in left field. They've been looking for a left fielder every year. And then with Bruce, you know, he had a terrible season last year. He kind of rushed back from a knee surgery. He had some cartilage repaired, missed only 2 weeks, and he came back and he was not very good. And he had the worst season of his career. And a lot of fans always kind of harp on him for being this guy that doesn't clutch or that doesn't do this or doesn't do that. But they also don't look at the fact that league-wide, there's not a lot of guys that are hitting home runs anymore like they was. Now the shifts are on, especially for left-handed hitters. And just the pitching's better. Obviously, this is a new era, and guys like him are not plentiful anymore.
Right. I totally agree.
No, it makes a lot of sense. The All-Star experience obviously was just in Cincinnati, coming here next year. What were your overall thoughts on what it took from the Red side, what it did for the city of Cincinnati, just kind of your global thoughts on the All-Star experience for the Reds?
I'll be honest with you. I think Cincinnati set a very high bar for you guys next season. Cincinnati did a really nice job with the All-Star game. Actually, the last two have been really nice. The one in Minneapolis, 2014, was really well done. I thought the Reds, they really went all out, and they not only did they support the game and make all these preparations to the ballpark and to the team, you know, the city and whatnot. The city and the county also stepped up, and everyone was behind that All-Star game. And it just the city was really humming. It was a lot of activity. There was a lot of buzz. The fan fest was great. The home run derby was – the new revamped derby was unbelievable success. And one of the good things I think that has going for it in San Diego is that being a smaller town with a town where the stadium is right here with everything else is I think everyone can get behind the game and it can make it as much of a success as Cincinnati and Minneapolis because that's going to be the thing that's happening here. And I think in bigger cities, it gets – maybe sometimes it gets a little lost in the shuffle. And I think in the smaller markets, it's got a chance to be the event and it's going to be treated like the event and it's really – it was really well done in Cincinnati.
It was done. And I love the home run derby this year, and I've hated it in the past. I thought that this was the perfect answer to the home run derby.
It really was, and one of the things I kind of lucked into is that Cincinnati was bracing for some severe weather the entire week, and right. none of the events were affected by weather. It would rain right before the derby and rain right after the derby and rain right before the game itself, so there was a lot of concern. But what they did was they shortened the time element that they were going to have was 5 minutes, and wow, it became 4 minutes when they were about the weather. And it actually ended up being a better thing because right. I think 5 minutes, those guys would have been gassed.
It would have been way too long.
Yeah, way too long. Right. And I think in having it 4 minutes, it created enough drama and it was enough home runs were hit and people saw enough. And I thought it was perfect. Obviously, the hometown guy won it.
Right. And I was just going to say, and then to have Todd Frazier step up like he did that was a magical home run.
Yeah, in a game that's supposed to be timeless, baseball, they've created the idea that he had a buzzer beater, essentially, where he was trying to, at the down to the final seconds of trying to win this thing in all three rounds, and he was able to do it. And it really, the Reds obviously aren't going to be going anywhere this season, so this was the equivalent of the moment of the season for them. That's going to be the jewel moment of 2015 for the Reds.
No, it was a lot of fun and a lot of great stuff with Mark Sheldon here talking about the Reds and everything he does covering them for MLB.com. Really appreciate you coming down, spending a few minutes with us, and getting us updated on everything going on with Cincinnati.
Yeah, thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Appreciate it. He was on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Our thanks to Mark Sheldon for stopping by Padres Social Hour. More right after this.